When our faith fails in difficult times, most of the time, if we're not careful, we are going to make a wrong move.
The Bible contains great accounts of men and women who responded in faith to God's call on their lives. However, we sometimes read those stories and marvel at their great victories, but we miss the significance of the struggles they faced. Today, on the Thursday edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley again focuses our attention on the life of David, this time explaining what we should do when we are on the bottom, looking up. David was Israel's greatest king and described as a man after God's own heart. But he also encountered tremendous anxiety and felt a great sense of desperation in his life. Learn how David overcame those crushing emotions as you listen now to Charles Stanley.
This is God's instruction book for our life. One of the wisest things you can do is to read it, to believe it, and learn how to apply it to your life. Because you see, every single circumstance of life, no matter what it is, the answer and direction for your life is found in the Word of God. It's either there by illustration of some event in one of God's servants' life, or it's there by principle clearly stated. One of His primary, most effective ways of answering those questions in our life is not in a verse of Scripture, but rather in the way He used and the way He worked in the life of His servants. Now somebody says, well, but who can tell me that God works today the same way He used to work years ago? How do I know that if He worked in their life that way, He's going to work in my life this way? Well, let me ask you a question. Why would God take the time and protect all these years, all of these events of Scripture, all of these stories that are true, all of these illustrations of how He worked in their lives? Why would He want to put this in a book and give it to us if He did not intend on using the same principles and working in our life the same way? It'd be absolutely useless. But they're here for our instruction. They're here for our understanding. They're here for our application. One of those issues we have to deal with is the threat of despair, this awful sense of hopeless helplessness that grips our lives at times. And so I want you to turn to the life and to event in one of God's choicest servants, and that is David, in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And I want you to notice what's going on here, and we'll give you a little background of what brought us up to this point. In chapter 30, verse 1, then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. This was David's hometown now for this particular time. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him, these are his soldiers, lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep anymore. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people, that is his soldiers, spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now what we have to ask is this. First of all, why would a man like David? The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. This is a shepherd out there listening to God who didn't have a Bible of his own. This is where we get the 23rd Psalm, the 31st Psalm, the 34th Psalm, the 35th Psalm, the 37th Psalm, the 62nd Psalm, the 119th Psalm, all those Psalms. This is the man whose life has been such a blessing to all of us. When you and I get discouraged and get to feeling despairing, which part of the Bible are we going to go to? So often we run to the Psalms. Why? Here is a man whose life was up today and down tomorrow, up in this event and down in this one. So like so many of us in so many ways. Nothing perfect about this man. And yet he's a man about which the Bible says he's a man up to God's own heart. A man who longed for God, hungered for God. And now what is he doing? Even though he's been anointed the king, he's over in Philistine territory, ready to go to battle with the king against his own people, even though he has a covenant with them. Well, what happened to him? Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you think we get in the messes we get in? Why do you think we get ourselves in situations that lead to discouragement and despair and heartache and brokenheartedness and all the rest? Well, let's look at David for a moment. The first thing that happened to him was this. He had a faith failure. You might want to jot these down because, if you will, I think somewhere along the way, when you get the feeling yourself in these situations, you ask yourself the question, why am I where I am? First of all, there was a faith failure. Here, Saul had been chasing him for 8 years, tried to kill him twice, missed both times, and he's been running and hiding in caves. And now David suddenly says, well, it's hopeless. One of these days he's going to get me. I'm going to perish. Now, this is the man that Samuel the prophet anointed as king, and he knew he was going to be king. He said, I'm going to perish. I'm going to die. So he has a faith failure. Now watch this. When our faith fails in difficult times, most of the time, if we're not careful, we are going to make a wrong move. And that's why our faith has to be established in something that is immovable. It has to be established in the Word of God. He had a faith failure. So what did he do? He did what faith failures usually do. He began to reason. Well, the smartest thing for me to do, the wisest thing for me to do, is to go over and live in the land where the Philistines live. Then King Saul won't bother me anymore because he's not going to come over there and be chasing me around amidst the Philistines. So reason said the best thing you do is just get out of the country. Just leave. And that's what reason says. Watch this. Whenever you and I get in difficult situations, things that look seem to be so hopeless and we seem so helpless, watch out for a faith failure, number one. And secondly, watch out for the beginning to move from faith to human reason. Well, this looks like the reasonable, rational, right thing to do. This is the best thing to do. And how many times have we said three words that seem to always come out? This is the best thing I can do. What's the next three word? Under the circumstances, right. This is the best thing I know to do under the circumstances. Watch out for your circumstances. First of all, he had a faith failure. He began to say, I'm going to die for sure. Secondly, what did he do? He began to reason. This seems to be the best thing to do. Faith and reason oftentimes clash because what God requires of us, we have to set human natural reasoning aside. The third thing I want you to notice is this. He stepped out of the will of God. When you and I have a faith failure, we start reasoning things. The natural, normal thing to do is to do it our way, and we step out of the will of God. He got out of the will of God. He was the anointed king of Israel. Instead of hanging in there and trusting God to protect him, what did he do? He chose to step out of the Father's will for his life and to join up with the enemies of the nation of Israel, the people of God, to join up with the enemies of the people of God. And that means he was willing to go to war with them against God's people. So what did he do? The fourth thing that happened was this. He compromised his loyalty to God and to the people of God, who were the covenant people through whom the Messiah would come. He absolutely proved disloyal. He compromised the very thing that he had committed himself to. And what ultimately happened, number five, is this. He just forgot God. I mean, this is David out there with the sheep. This is David whom God has spoken to so clearly. This is the David who knows God so well. This is the David who saw God in such a graphic way so often as he listened to him and as God spoke to him. And now all of a sudden he's forgotten God. He's out there doing his own thing. Now, I'm not here to say that every time a person reaches a state of despair that they've forgotten God. I'm not going to say that it's always the result of sin. So often it is. So often it is result of a faith failure. We cease to trust God. We take things in our own hands. And what happens? It got him in the biggest mess. And listen, what happens is when you take one step out of the will of God leads to two steps out of the will of God, leads to three steps out of the will of God, four steps out of the will of God, and the next thing you know, you're about to take one that'll be a disaster. He was at the point of utter, hopeless, helpless despair. Everything was gone. And the worst thing was gone was this, that his fellowship with God was gone. It was gone. He'd been doing his own thing for these 16 months he'd been over there. And then I want you to notice this verse of Scripture. Look, if you will. Verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. And look at this last part. But David strengthened himself in his God. Now I want you to remember something very carefully. In this moment of despair in the life of David, this dark, fogged, cloud, hopeless, helpless moment, it would appear to him, and it would appear to you and me when we face these moments in our life, that, I mean, this is it. We look at these moments and say, these are tragic moments in our life. But now watch this. When you're on the bottom and you're willing to look up, here's what you'll discover. That moment, that period of despair, is not the tragic end, but it can be the gateway to a whole new beginning in your life. Now, I want to say that again, because I know that there are many of you who are in a state of despair and hopeless. You've been through circumstances and situations, and you are so discouraged, you don't know where to turn. You've done everything you know to do, and nothing's worked. And you feel so hopeless and so helpless and so despairing. Listen carefully. Don't give in and don't give up. Because in the face of despair, if you will look at it as it is, you will see a gateway to a whole new beginning for your life. I know you can't figure it out. You can't work it out. But I'm telling you, there's a whole new gateway to a whole new beginning of your life. You see, because God is a master at turning our despair and our hopelessness and our discouragement and our desperation. He is a master at turning these things into a whole new sense of direction for our life. That's the way God operates. But in order for that to happen, I must respond in the right fashion. And what is the right way? Well, I want you to jot these things down. They're real simple. Listen to what the scripture says. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now look at that. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In his darkest moments of despair, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What does he mean by that? Well, when you see what happens thereafter, you'll know that something dramatic took place. That what could have been a tragic moment of his life was the gateway to a whole new beginning for David. Listen. Listen carefully. This moment of despair was the turning point in David's life. And I don't know what you're facing, but I can tell you this. If you don't give in and you don't give up, it can be the turning point in your life, the gateway to a whole new beginning in your life. Don't give in, don't give up. So when the Bible says he strengthened himself, I want to give you five things that involve in strengthening yourself. Or as the King James says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Same thing. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, the first step, and I'm going to give them to you, I want you to give them back to me. The first step is repentance. Listen to this now. Repentance isn't just saying, God, I'm sorry. Repentance is facing up to the fact of what's going on in my life and making a decision to turn away from it. Confession is, I agree with you, God, about it. But confession involves repentance. Genuine confession involves repentance. Not only is this not right, it doesn't fit who I am in Christ Jesus, but also I want to turn and move out in the other direction. Repentance is a change of mind which is going to result in a change of action, a change of conduct. Repentance is the first step. The second step is to recall. And that is to recall how God has blessed you in the past. How he's answered your prayers in the past. To recall the wonderful things that God has done in your life. This is why I say to you over and over and over again, you ought to keep a diary of some sort. Because that diary, listen, that diary, it's your account of God's faithfulness in your life. And I guarantee you, there's not anybody who's been a Christian 30, 40, 50, 60 years who would not like to be able to go back and read the accounts of God's caring for and blessing and provision all these years. Your faith would absolutely skyrocket. Standing in the ashes of his home, standing in absolute total aloneness, standing in his sinfulness, he repents before God. He remembers the blessings. Listen, he remembers how God had worked in his life. Recalling those blessings in the past. But number three, reflecting upon the power of God. beginning to think back, what did God do for him when he was so helpless in the past? How did God sustain him and enable him to fight war after war? What did he do when he was facing a man like Goliath, this giant? It was God in his power, and it was God in his might. It was God in his strength. This is why it is so very important that you and I read the scriptures, that we understand the Word of God, that we read the Holy Word of God, that it becomes a part of our thinking, a part of the way we think, the way we act. Because listen, you don't have much to reflect upon if you don't know anything about the Word of God. Reflecting upon the omnipotence of God, His awesome power in their life and what He could do. And the fourth one is remembering the promises of God. Listen to that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Only God can make that promise. There's not a circumstance anywhere on this earth, under the sea, in the air. There is no place anywhere in existence where God will not be with you. He is a God of presence. Listen, a God of presence, not just promise, but presence. Remembering the promises of God. And the last word is resolve. That is resolve to trust Him. Make a definite, deliberate decision to trust God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Here's David in the deepest, darkest moments of despair in his life. The Bible said he strengthened himself. Look at that. Look what it says. It doesn't say, and I'm glad it doesn't. He doesn't say, but David strengthened himself, period. How did he strengthen himself? In the Lord, his God. He didn't just strengthen himself, period. That's like saying, hey, I'm going to do better. I'm determined. I'm going to make it this time. No, he strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. He faced God and repented of his sins. He recalled God's blessings upon him. He reflected upon the omnipotence of his God. He's remembering the promises of his God. On the basis of those things, his God, his God, his God, his God. What does he do? He resolves, I will trust my God no matter what. There is no fog, no despair, and no darkness that a loving God will not penetrate the moment you say, I resolve, not by what I feel, not by my circumstances, no matter what's happened, I will trust you, God. And I'm here to tell you everything heaven breaks loose in your behalf. Now, here's what happened. Look at what happened here. What is the next thing that happens in David's life? Look at this. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, he says, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought ephod to David. Now, what was an ephod? An ephod was sort of an outer garment, reaches down to about the knees, somewhere thereabouts. And it was a garment that the priest wore. And on that was a breastplate. And this breastplate had a little pocket and had two stones in it. What kind of stones? I don't really know. And they would seek the Lord's mind, and they trusted God that when they pulled out one of these stones, that answer would be what they were searching for. Now, that doesn't mean flipping a coin. We're not talking about flipping coins. Don't get the idea. I say, well, flip a coin, or have two stones, and two different color stones, black or white or brown or white or whatever it might be. One's got a number on, the other's got a number. You just pull that and say, oh, that's what I'm going to do. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. This was a sacred vest, a sacred garment. And it was seeking and asking the Lord's direction, their guidance. Remember now, watch this carefully. Revelation is progressive. That doesn't mean the Old Testament is less inspired than the New Testament. It means as God revealed himself down through the centuries up to the person of Jesus Christ, you and I have more light. And therefore, we are more responsive. We don't have to flip coins and choose stones. All we have to do is get on our face and ask God, and we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to clarify for us exactly what we have to do next. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct thy path. But this is what it meant in those days. And that's what the ephod was. So he comes, and here's what David does. David didn't say, well, I'm going to choose one. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, that is, God said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. Now, what I want you to notice here, watch this. Watch the consequences. When he strengthened himself in the Lord, the first thing he did was he did it God's way. God, what would you have me to do? Secondly, God gave him, listen to this, very clear direction. pursue them. The third thing God said to them is this: you will retrieve all that you've lost. So God told him that. Dave and his 600 men creep up on them. They're having this big party. And they're forgetting about any guards for the simple reason they think Dave and his crowd's over there fighting against Israel with Achish and all the kings and the generals of the Philistines. They sneak up on them, creep up on them, and absolutely annihilate them. Except for 400 young men, the Bible says, who fled on camels. Every single thing they lost, they got back. In fact, they got back so much, he gave a whole bunch of it away. Now you say, well, do you mean to tell me that if when I reach these moments of discouragement and despair, if I will follow these five steps, that God will do the same for me? Well, let me ask you a question. Can you give me any proof that he won't? Do you think that God loved David more than he loves you and me? No. We just have different roles in life. Does God work the same way today he did then? Yes, he does. Does that mean that if you lost something, you get every single thing you ever lost back? I didn't say that. But one thing for certain, God will change your life. It'll be a turning point in your life. And God will, listen, God will multiply. He will retrieve for you. Listen, all he wants you to have, God will give back. No matter what, don't give in. Don't give up. But on the bottom rung of your ladder, when you think, God, there's nothing else left, if you will look up in repentance, in remembrance, in reflecting upon his omnipotence and his love for you, remembering those promises of his unconditional loving care and presence, and resolve in your heart, I will trust God, not because of how I feel, not because of what I see, but simply because I know he's a trustworthy God, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and those who fear the Lord shall not want any good thing. That is our God.
Do you feel a sense of desperation today? Well, if so, then take Charles Stanley's advice and don't give up. Remember that this time of discouragement can lead to a brand new start in life. Turn to God and ask him to lead you through this dark time. And though your situation may not change, the Lord can strengthen you and give you a new perspective on life. God's power is free to flow through the life of anyone who has a right relationship with him and who walks in obedience and faith. That kind of life is initiated through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our mission at In Touch Ministries is to point people to that lifestyle. If you need some instruction and encouragement to continue reaching for that kind of consistent life, then the In Touch magazine is just for you. This free publication features articles by Charles Stanley that concentrate on how to apply scriptural principles. In addition, you'll find a brief daily devotional feature that will help you focus your attention on Christ. The subscription is yours free, so just mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. And remember to visit us online at intouch.org. You may have heard someone say that they have fallen into sin. Well, the truth is, they've made a conscious decision to give in to sin's lure. Learn how you can stand firm in those moments of weakness next time on In Touch. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.